Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. So today I want to talk to you about leading volunteers. And you may be wondering, why do you need to worry about leading volunteers? Well, I heard John Maxwell say a long time ago, he said, if you want to find out what kind of leader you are, join a group of volunteers and see how well you can lead them. And he also referenced at the same time he was talking about leading in a volunteer group. And he said, if you're a high level leader in an organization and you want to find out truly what kind of leaders you have on your leadership team, on your staff, he said, you need to send them out to some volunteer organizations and see how well they do. And the reason that's so critical into identifying your leadership skills is because when you're leading volunteers, they don't have to follow. You're not paying them. You don't control them. You don't determine when they get off work early to go see the kids' ball game. You don't decide when they get raises, when they get promotions. They're volunteers. They don't have to follow. So I remember when I heard that a long time ago, and then not long after that, you know, I was transitioning and moving into my leadership career, and Rhea and I was talking about it, and we were into mountain biking. So in 2011 and 2012, Rhea and I actually raced mountain bikes. We raced all over Alabama and Georgia. I think we were doing about 17 races a season between the two states, two different racing groups, one for each state, but we participated in both. So it's pretty awesome. Rhea, actually, she was the Alabama and Georgia state champion for her age group each year in Alabama and Georgia. So that was pretty awesome for her to win those state championships during those years. I couldn't pull it off. I was usually second or third, somewhere around in there. But I was having fun, and we rode several thousand miles a year racing, mainly training, though. We'd travel all over Southeast riding trails on the weekends and that sort of stuff and having some fun. But anyway, then we found out in 2011 that a group was meeting in our local state park about maybe only a mile down the road from our house. We hardly ever went to that state park. It was a dead little state park in Auburn, Alabama called Chewakla State Park. It's not dead anymore, but it was pretty much dead back in those days in 2011. And anyway, we found out there was going to be a group go down there and meet and talk about building trails and that sort of stuff. So we thought we'd go down and see what they were up to and what they were talking about. And they actually kicked off trail building that day. It was not a formally organized group or anything, but the park manager was cool. His name was Dale Banks, and he allowed us to come down and start building trails. He was happy to have somebody wanting to volunteer to do some work. So me and Rhea and about eight other people. And we just started doing whatever they wanted us to do. We brought some tools. They had some tools, and they had a blower and some shovels and some mattocks for digging, cutting up trees, digging up roots and all that sort of stuff. So we had a little bit, we didn't know what we were doing really, but there was one guy there who seemed to think he knew what he was doing, and he definitely wanted everybody else to know what he was doing. And a lot of people didn't really like that guy too much, but he was the one who had organized this deal, and he was the one making it happen. So if you wanted to be a part of it, you had to go follow him, but people didn't really want to follow him. Anyway, we started out doing that. And, you know, I was thinking about what John said about it. You know, if you truly want to find out if you're a leader, you need to be a part of a volunteer group. See what you can make happen. What kind of influence can you develop within that group? So that's basically how it started right there, is what I just described to you. But after a while, we started making trails, and we kind of built up a good group. And that guy was still leading the group, even though people didn't really like him. And remember, this was 2011, so I had started reading leadership books and really started my personal growth and leadership development journey in 2008. So I was about 3 years into reading every day and studying leadership every day. And now I was in a role where I was on the front lines of a volunteer group, and I was just somebody. Nobody really is who I was. And so I just started working and, you know, started building relationships, doing all the stuff I had been learning. And so after we had made a little progress, actually a lot of progress, the park manager, Dale, he said we had to form an official an official mountain bike organization and become part of IMBA. It was International Mountain Biking Association. So we had to, if we wanted to keep doing what we were doing in the park, we had to become official, because we needed some support from behind, and it needed to be official who was going to build the trails, who was going to maintain the trails, and all that sort of thing, because we were going really, really fast. And I think we started October, November 2011, and by March of 2012, I mean, we had about 14 miles of trail. We already had a race schedule for June or July of 2012. Can't really remember now when it was, but it was basically 6 or 7 months after we started building. We didn't have any trails, and we had talked to the racing promoter and organizer, told him we'd have enough to do a 10-mile race, you know, within the 6 or 7 months, whenever June or July came around. And we did. We had more than enough. So basically the park manager kind of put the brakes on us and said we had to form a group. And no one wanted the guy who started it. No one wanted him to be the leader of that group. It was pretty obvious. No one liked that guy. That guy was what we would call a jerk in common sense lingo. Nobody really liked him. He was not a bad guy. He just didn't know how to interact with people. He was smart. He was sharp. He cared about what we were doing. He cared about what he was doing. He just couldn't interact well with people. And he come across as a jerk. I don't know that I say he was a jerk, but he probably wasn't really a jerk, but he come across that way. That's what everybody thought about him. But I think it's just his personality. And that's what it is with a lot of jerks. It's their personality. He didn't have to be that way. He chose to be that way, but we ain't getting into that lesson today. But anyway, as we started forming, we had a meeting, and I kind of set that up, and we established that we're going to go down that path and become an official International Mountain Biking Association chapter. And then out of that, we joined SORBA, which is Southern Off-Road Bicycling Association. And that was the Southern group of IMBA. And we started, we didn't know who was going to be the leaders of the group. There was, you know, we had to form an official leadership administration, and we had to develop a board, all that sort of stuff. So Rhea and I started talking. You know, I was still thinking of John's quote: if you want to learn what kind of leader you are, you need to participate in a volunteer organization. So we talked about it. And I decided, because it was going to be a couple of year commitment, and I was full-time consulting, Rhea was working full-time, and this was going to be a heavy burden to take on. But we decided we wanted to do it. It was it fit. It was also a great test, and we were going to make a big impact in the community, and we'd have riding trails a mile from our house instead of 45 minutes from our house, which was the closest trails we had at the time. So there was a lot of win in it for us, but mainly because we saw it kind of as a science project for leadership. That was the primary driver, because y'all, if you listen to me long enough, you know I live what I teach. So it was an opportunity for us to live what we teach when we talk about go become part of a volunteer organization. So beyond that, I volunteered to become the president, and Rhea volunteered to become the treasurer. So not only was I going to be a part of the organization, but we were going to lead it. And I was going to lead it literally from the top position. But again, it's all a group of volunteers. the leadership team was volunteers, the board is volunteers, the people doing all the work volunteers. And you got to imagine, not only were we leading a volunteer organization, but the product was physical labor. We didn't have any machinery or anything like that. We built all these trails in the beginning. We built these trails by hand with hand tools. And again, we had about 14 miles done in the first 6 months, and also built a huge, like 100-foot long bridge built on telephone poles over a creek that flooded up. And the creek level raised about six feet or so when it would flood, and it was kind of, you know, down in a little bottom. So we had to build a pretty significant bridge. I didn't do any of the bridge building, but the people who liked to do that and who wanted to do that did that, and they done a phenomenal job. I mean, it's still there. There's been some pretty significant floods, and that thing, those guys designed it to be above what was determined to be a 100-year flood level for that little creek there. And so they begin with the end in mind, and they done a good job building that bridge. But anyway, I wasn't too excited about really being the president and committing all that time and effort to begin with. But one of the guys who was there the very first day we went to start building those trails, when it was me and Rhea and about eight other people, one of those guys was someone I had never met at the time. He's been a client and a personal friend of mine since then. But on that day in 2011, I didn't know him. I didn't even know who he was, probably till later. I probably didn't even know who he was that day. But who I'm talking about is Greg Williams. He was still is. He's the Auburn University head coach of the equestrian team, the girls riding on the horses, doing the Western riding and the English riding, jumping over the beams and all that stuff. I don't know enough about it to talk about it with any of the proper words, but just wanted to describe for you what he's done. And he's 6-time national champion. And I think at the time I met him, he was 2- or 3-time national champion. So he's still getting results. He was just recently, Rhea and I went down not too long ago and watched him win the SEC championship for this year. And they didn't make it to national champion this year, but they were really, really close. But anyway, Greg was out there, and he was working, volunteering, him and his wife Sandy, and they were standing there just like Rhea and I was that first morning. So we got to know them, and when all this meeting came about that we were going to start a volunteer organization, become a chapter of IMBA, I still was kind of undecided. But I remember I turned into a gas station near home, and Greg was pulling out, and we kind of stopped beside each other, let the windows down, talked for a minute, and we talked about what was going on, and Greg really wanted me to volunteer to be the president of the group. He liked me, and he knew other people liked me and my leadership style and who Rhea and I were and what we was about, that sort of stuff. So he was trying to lead me and influence me to volunteer for this 2-year role as president, which was a lot because it was a startup. I mean, it didn't exist. There was nothing there. I had to build it all from scratch, me and the team. So he was trying to sell me on doing it because we had just had the meeting, or were about to have the meeting. I can't remember which way it was, but it was real close to the time to decide, and I hadn't decided yet. So he was trying to poke me a little and make sure that I jumped in that role. And he says, if he wanted me to be the president, I said, well, I'll be the president if you'll be on the board. He said, well, I'll be on your board. If you're the president, I'll be on the board. I said, well, sounds like I'm going to be the president and you're going to be on the board. And so that was really when I decided 100% to do it. And we've done some amazing things. And Greg is still on the board. You know, it's basically 10 years later, because we officially started the chapter in March of 2012. And it was pretty amazing. Pretty quick, we had up around 150 members, official members, who joined and became a member. We named that, our organization was named CAMP. We put a lot of Stephen Covey's begin with the end in mind principle. We put a lot of that into play. You know, I wanted us to have a cool family name, an inviting name. So we named our organization CAMP, which is acronym for Central Alabama Mountain Peddlers. And we didn't want to be some crazy mountain bike name. Nothing wrong with that. That's just not who we were, and it was not who we wanted to be. We wanted to be a family-friendly mountain bike group for people of all ages and from all backgrounds and that kind of thing. So we started out with our name. And our motto, we come up with that pretty quick because we already had it. And I was saying it all the time. I still say it a lot, but I was saying it before I ever thought about starting that group. But people bought into it, and it became our motto. And we make things happen. We had t-shirts with that on the back. We make things happen because we were making things happen in that state park. And it was just amazing. And I don't get credit for anything except volunteering to be the president. It was everybody. I mean, hundreds of people were out there, different people at different times. Some people only one time, some people probably every time. And so I'm telling you this story because if you truly want to find out what kind of leader you are, you need to join a volunteer organization or start one. If you start one and you can't make anything happen, that's going to be your sign that you're not a very good leader. Or if you go join a volunteer group where someone else is the leader and you just start participating, but you really don't build any good relationships, you can't have any influence, people don't really want to follow you or listen to you or be friends with you, that kind of stuff, that's another sign. And both of those signs are signs that you need to grow and develop yourself. And a lot of people, they don't even want to volunteer to go support a volunteer group. That's just, again, that's a reflection of who you are. It's about your character. And so that's, you know, I don't do that forever, but still today I volunteer, Rhea and I volunteer to speak at a lot of places. So we're still volunteering. Rhea does it all the time when we're home. She speaks to rescued victims who are victims of sex trafficking. Young girls, usually they're 12 and up. Some of them are young women, some are young girls and teenage girls, but she's very deeply involved in that on a regular basis. And again, both of us speak to more of a variety of groups, not one group repeatedly. Rhea and I do support a Christian Women Job Corps. We've been doing that 7 or 8 years, I think, at least, maybe longer than that. And they're down in Opelika, Alabama. But that's another group. We're still actively supporting them. We also volunteer and support a prison fellowship, specifically the Warden Exchange Group. Actually, in the fall later this year, we'll be up in Maine to speak to a group of prison wardens from all over the country. We've been doing that for 4 or 5 years now. Can't really remember, but we do something with them every year. So we're still doing a lot of volunteering. But the story I was telling you is about when I actually volunteered to start a nonprofit 501c3 organization because I wanted to live these principles. I wanted to have this story to tell people, not just share John's quote. It's cool to hear John's quote and share it, which a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't, they don't follow through and apply it, just like a lot of these other principles. You hear these principles, a lot of people listen to my podcast, they read my books, but you don't see them or you don't hear about them. Or if it's you, maybe you don't actually go apply these principles, but you need to. As many of these principles as you can learn and then apply. And that's when you really learn. Hearing a principle doesn't mean you learned it. Being able to repeat it to somebody else doesn't mean you learned it. You got to go apply it. And sometimes you got to apply it a lot because some of these principles are not easy to apply. Some of them, once you apply the principle, it's not easy to master. Like becoming a leader in a volunteer group. That's easy to say. It's easy to remember. Kind of easy to do. For some people don't want to do it, so it's not so easy to do. But then when you go volunteer, now you got to actually do the work of building relationships and getting results. But it was really cool what we were able to accomplish. And I mean, now I think they have over 30 miles of trails. If you like to mountain bike, you need to put Chewakla State Park on your list of places to travel to or go check out. They've got wall rides. I know there's a wall ride down there that's, when I say wall ride, I mean, it's a big curved wooden wall. It seems like maybe it was 70 feet long, but it's curved and it's probably 12 or 15 feet tall. It's about 70 degrees, so it's not straight up, but it's close to straight up. And you ride up a big wooden ramp to get you some speed, and then you shoot down the ramp and hit some dirt, and then you bounce up on that wall, and you'll be riding literally sideways on your mountain bike on the wall, and then you got to come down and jump off the other end onto the ground, and then there's like a serpentine looking snake wooden feature that's got humps and curves and twists that you can go on, and all of that stuff is like right there at the entrance of Chewakla State Park. When you go in, the spot you pay to enter the park, the little ranger station right there at the entrance, right behind it, you'll see the wall. It's right there. But there's trails all over that park. There's a lake. It's got about, I think, a 20-something acre lake. Not a big lake, but it's a really pretty waterfall that falls from behind the dam of the lake onto some big rocks, and then it drops down into another creek. And the park, again, I think it's 800-something acres, but it is full of mountain bike trails. They got a few cabins, and they got some camping. Obviously, it's a state park, but they were a struggling state park when we started. Hardly no one went there. They had some hiking trails, but they were not well-maintained. Nobody was really mountain biking in there at all. What's cool about it today is, because of the work we done there and then other chapters done in other areas of the state, I think within just a couple of years of when we started, the Auburn High School started, actually mountain biking became a sport in the state of Alabama. It was already a sport in some other states. And when I say that, I mean in high schools, became a high school sport. So Auburn created a team, Auburn High School. And I think it was the second year after that mountain biking became a sport in Alabama, Auburn won the state championship. So that was pretty cool. But what was also cool was whenever they were having races, you know, during the mountain bike season for the high school sport events, whenever they would do it in Chewakla, there'd be like 600 people would come there. That's a lot. That's a lot of people coming into the park, coming into the city. So not only was what we do in building trails for those of us who like to ride for fun and sport, but it also created trails for people to improve their health. I'm sure a lot of people have improved their health riding on those trails. And then also generated revenue for the park. Chewakla is one of the premier parks revenue-wise in the state. I think before we started, they struggled to generate like $100,000 a year from that park. And last I heard, they were about $400,000 a year they were generating. I mean, you go down there sometimes and traffic's backed up, lined up, people lined up to get in there. People coming from all around the country actually to ride. They've got some really aggressive dirt jump trails. They built those after we moved on. Because what happened was, I do what you're supposed to do when you're a leader. I led, I did my part. That first year, I had been consulting full time. But when I raised my hand and said, I'll lead this as president, I knew I was going to lead it. It wasn't going to be something that I did kind of halfway and let it flop around. I was going to lead it. I was going to be responsible. One of the first things I did was I gave up about pretty much 50% of my consulting clients. I was booked solid every week, but I changed my schedule so that I was only booked twice a month instead of four times a month. So people didn't really know and understand what I was doing back then, but basically I gave up half of my salary to start that mountain bike organization, and also dedicated probably more than half of my time, because I worked a lot more during those 2 weeks and on the weekends to grow and develop that organization than I was doing actually in my consulting work. And I was making pretty strong six figures back in those days consulting. So I gave up into the six figures. I gave up that much salary to start the organization. I mean, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it wide open or I ain't interested. And so, I mean, I was building relationships. I was working on social media. I remember one year we were building trails and one of the companies I was supporting, we didn't have a lot of people at that time. We were just beginning. Actually, I think it was before we became an official chapter. I think it was around the November, December. Actually, I know it was now because I can remember where those folks come down and helped. But Rhea and I paid, those folks were shut down for Christmas. And I knew some of the people needed some money because they were shut down because not because of Christmas, but it was a light workload. So it was around Christmas, but they were not getting paid. So Rhea and I paid these folks. It was just a few people, but they come down. We paid them basically $10 an hour out of our pocket each to work on the trails. And they were not making much more than that where they were working. And so they come down several days and they worked with me. It was just me and a couple of guys. And Rhea and I were paying them $10 an hour to work. I was working for free. And I told them what I was going to be doing. I was blowing off trails. We had already marked the trails. So I was kind of blowing the path. And they were cutting limbs and digging up, cutting down small trees and getting up rocks. And they were kind of finishing, not really finishing, but roughing out the trail after I blew off the leaves. But that's another commitment. So we made a huge sacrifice to create CAMP, the Central Alabama Mountain Peddler Organization. And we led it for almost 2 years. We actually led it for 2 years from the time we started unofficially building the trails. That was the 2 year date I set in my mind, not 2 years from the date we become official, but 2 years from the time we really started. And I started dedicating time to it. So it ended up being officially a year and a half, unofficially 2 years. But then we had our elections and I had been building up the VP, Philip Darden. He was the VP of CAMP, and I knew most likely he would volunteer to become the president. So I taught him a lot of leadership and those sort of things. And, you know, one of the things that made me be a good leader out there was whenever people would come out to volunteer, I would always ask them, what did they want to do? They say, whatever you need doing. I said, no, we ain't doing it like that. What do you want to do? I said, you can cut roots. You can fill in holes. You can move rocks. You can trim limbs. You can blow leaves. All kind of, you can level trail, all kind of things. But whichever one you want to do, that's what I want you to do. They say, yeah, but what do you need doing? I said, I'll do whatever needs doing if nobody's doing it. What I want to know is, what do you want to do? I said, the reason that is because if you're doing something you want to do, you may stay all day. If you're doing something I want you to do, and you really don't want to do it, you may have to go after about 30 minutes or an hour. So that was what I remember teaching Philip, that lesson. We always do as leaders, we do what everybody else doesn't want to do. Let them do whatever they want to do. That way they'll do it and they'll come back tomorrow and do it some more. And when we appreciate them, they'll come back and do it some more and they'll bring some people with them. And that's what happened. That's just a small snippet of an example of how I was leading that organization. But as soon as our time was up, we held elections. We got a new president. Rhea was done. We got a new treasurer. And also Rhea just mentioned what she did. She went through and filled out grants. She got us a $10,000 grant and a $100,000 grant from the state to pay for trail tools and equipment, a trailer to put our tools in. And also, the $100,000 grant was to hire trail builders to come in and build some really cool flow trail, which has got a lot of ups and downs and twists and berms and all that sort of stuff. So she was doing more than just keeping up with the book. She was out there making stuff happen too. And a lot of other people were. But when we had our elections and Rhea and I were no longer in those positions, we got out. We didn't stay in. I didn't go to another meeting. Rhea didn't go to another board meeting or anything like that. We were done. We handed it off and we did what good leaders at the top are supposed to do when they step aside, is step aside, get out of the way. I remember the very first board meeting, Philip wanted me to come to it. He was the new president and he was leading it. And he's like, you coming, ain't you? I was like, no, man, I ain't coming. You the president. Be the president. You don't need me in there interfering with your influence. And I knew that. People were following me. I was the leader. So how do I get them to quit following me and follow someone else? Get out of the way, 100%. And that's exactly what we did. And then shortly after, we moved to Georgia. And we ain't been involved since. And I think that's what a lot of people, a lot of leaders step aside, and then they still want to keep their presence in the organization. And a lot of times that causes a lot of problems because they're still seen as the leader. Because whoever has the most influence is always the leader. So I removed myself. Rhea removed herself. They carried on. They've been through several presidents now. They still got the group going. They've done some amazing things out there. So just wanted to share that story. If you want to find out what kind of leader you are, go be a part of a volunteer organization. If you really want to find out, go start one. See how many people you can attract and what you can accomplish. Hope you enjoyed that little story. I share about it in my book, Defining Influence. Increasing your influence increases your options. If you hadn't checked out that book, you may want to go dive into it. I don't share much in there, just a little bit. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit bluecollarleadership.com to learn about Max's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.